session number 8262, Reel 1.
Mr. Webb, Reel 1. Can you tell me how you entered the Navy?
I joined the Navy in 1938, and that was owing to the 1938 crisis. And I was called in to the service in January 24th, 1939.
So if I get this right, you signed up in 1938, and you were called up in January 1939. Did you have any particular reason for choosing the Navy rather than another service?
Not really, except that my father was in the Navy during the last war, the 14-18 war.
Was there any family tradition going back further than that?
Not as far as I know, no.
And you say it was 1938. Was that because you were convinced that a war was coming?
Yes, yes. The fellas I used to work with, they was always talking about it, and I thought, well, I'm not going to wait to be dragged into it. I'll go on my own accord and I can join what service I like.
What was it that happened in 1938 that did convince you that a war was coming?
Well, I think it was the Munich agreements and with Germany, Hitler, and Chamberlain. But it was the elder generation that really told me what was going to happen, because apparently it happened to them just the same.
So it was German policy and activity. Had you ever considered Italy as a potential enemy?
No, not really. No. Just Germany, that's all.
Did you have any ideas about what sort of strategy or tactics the enemy might employ?
No, none at all.
When you were called up, what happened to you?
When I first went into the Navy, we formed into a class. There was 12 of us from London, and we all went down to Portsmouth together, and we was Pompey Barracks. We were put in a class. It was called Seymour class, with about 12 other blokes. We made a class of about 24. And we did roughly 6 months training from then.
What sort of syllabus did you follow in the training?
The first one was marching. And the drill, knots, general seamanship. And then we had gunnery lessons. And torpedo lessons, all weapons. And after that you had an examination, and they decided which category you'd go in, either guns or torpedoes.
Was this examination written or practical?
Some of each.
What about the instruction? Was it mainly classroom or was it mainly out practising?
Oh no, it was mainly practising out. It was all practical work, more or less. A very, very small amount of written work or anything like that.
Who actually instructed you?
He was an acting petty officer. I forget his name, I'm sorry. It's a long time ago. But he was the only one that we had until we went to the Whale Island, that is the gunnery school. And then it was taken over by a gunner's mate. And at Vernon, was taken over by a torpedo gunner's mate.
Was the style of instruction the same in all three places?
Yes, more or less, yes.
How did you find the discipline?
It wasn't all that hard, but it was made to appreciate it, and you soon realise that providing you did what you was told, or try to do it to the best of your ability, you got a long way.
What sort of relationship did you have with your instructors? Were you on friendly terms with them?
All the class was on friendly terms. We only had one instructor right through, except for a small period of times each day during the times at Vernon and Wayland. But he was quite a nice fellow.
So you didn't try and keep a distance or anything like that?
Oh, no.
What were you best at in this training?
Torpedoes. What they call whiteheads. Torpedoes. Warheads. Demolition.
So were you then made a torpedo man when you...
Oh, no. You was just an ordinary seaman with a potential for seaman torpedoman in later years.
What was the barracks like to live in? What sort of accommodation did you have?
Accommodation, I was in very large mess rooms. You had hammocks. And you also had your eating quarters there, tables, and that. It was just like one big room.
How many were there in the room?
Two, 300. There was all different classes in there, you see.
Did you find it difficult adjusting to sleeping in a hammock?
Strangely enough, no. You got a better sleep in a hammock than you did in the bed.
And what was the food like?
Well, it was a lot better than we was getting outside at the time, 1939.
What could you do when you weren't actually working?
Whatever you chose, unless you were on watch, duty watch. But if you was free and there was a shore leave, you could go ashore, you could go in the canteens, or you could do whatever you wanted.
So what was the length of the working day?
In the barracks, from about, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. About 7:30. You had breakfast. You was just cleaning during that time. You had your breakfast, then you fell in. You had what they call division, that's daily service and inspection. And from then about 9:30, you was with your instructor until about 10:40. You had 10 minutes break. And then you went on till 12 o'clock, lunchtime. And at 1 o'clock, I think it was, we used to fall in again and commence the afternoon session of training till 4 o'clock. And after that, it was up to you then. If you was duty watch, because you had duties to perform.
Did you get to know the other men in your class well?
Most of them. We was all pretty friendly bunch.
Were they mainly from London?
12 of us were from around London and Kent. And the other 12, they were from... there was a couple of fellas from Wales. Two from the Hebrides. No, three from the Hebrides. Two were twins. And... Devon was... One chappy from Devon. I can't recall. Birmingham, Midlands and all around there.
But you were all able to mix in well.
Oh, yes. We got along fine, most of us.
Were most of them, or all of them, volunteers like you?
Oh, yes. We'd all joined up. We'd all signed up for either 12 or 7 and 5.
And what did you actually sign on for?
7 years with the fleet and 5 years fleet reserve.
So you were really a regular, weren't you?
That's right, yes.
What happened to you then when you'd finished your training in Portsmouth?
We were given leave, a fortnight's leave. We came back and we were drafted to HMS Kingston, which was a new type, K-class destroyer. And we were, at that time, that was July. End of June, July, beginning of July. We were going on a world cruise with Lord Louis Mountbatten on the Kelly, but unfortunately the war came along and that was it. Stopped it.
Did the actual outbreak of the war take you by surprise?
No, not really. That happened at just after church service divisions on a Sunday. And myself and two of the other fellows were walking across the parade ground at 11 o'clock when it came over the tannoy that we were at war with Germany.
How did the others receive the news?
Same as what I did. We all threw our caps in the air.
You felt a sense of relief then, did you? Mm-hmm. Did this have any effect upon the normal course of life, as far as you were concerned?
No, not really. No, just carried on.
Where did you actually join HMS Kingston?
Joined HMS Kingston at Cowes, the Isle of Wight. She was built by Thornycroft, I think.
What sort of ship was she?
She was a K-class destroyer, 1,760 tonnes, and she had a crew of 192 when we started. She increased the crew to over 200 just after we commissioned. That was on September the 14th, 1939, we commissioned the Kingston.
What sort of armament did she have?
She had three twin 4.7 guns. She had one multiple pom bomb, two 4.5s, two sets of 4.5 machine guns, and 10 21-inch torpedo tubes, and cost the depth charges at the back. Stern.
What stage was she at when you reached her then? Had she been fully built?
Oh yeah, she was fully built, and we immediately started what they call working up trials.
What did that involve doing?
It was just training everybody for their particular duties on a wartime course.
Did it mean putting to sea?
Oh yes.
What were your duties then?
My duties, first duties, was lookout. Nearly all the ordinary seamen were either lookouts or messengers, something like that.
And what did you have to do as a lookout?
You were just watching for enemy planes or shipping. Anything that was unusual that shouldn't be there, or anything that you saw, you had to report, friendly or otherwise.
Where was your duty station?
Action duty, you're talking about.
When you were lookout, what?
Oh, masthead. I was a masthead lookout.
How far could you actually see from the masthead?
Well, if I can just tell you a little story, perhaps this will give you some idea of distance when you're in a sea, how far you can see. On one occasion in the North Sea, after we did our working up trials and we were on patrol in the North Sea, I was masthead lookout and I spotted a small ship, and at the time I was on top of a wave, and I reported this object. The officer of the watch, he called the captain because he couldn't see anything, and the captain, it was Lieutenant Commander Peter Somerville, he spoke to me and he said, "I'll turn the ship to the port, and when it's 5 degrees off the port bow, you tell me." He did that, and we were steaming for 3/4 hour before anybody on the bridge saw the object, and it happened to be a small fishing vessel.
What sort of speed would you have been going at?
About 15, 18 knots.
So it would have been 10, 12 nautical miles away, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. More than that.
More than that. Mm-hmm.
That was before they, that's not before we reached them, that's before they sighted it.
I think think I understand you better. So how far in terms of distance do you think it would be then?
Oh, it could have been about 30 miles, I should have been. Because we were steaming nearly well over an hour before we eventually caught the fishing vessel.
And you mentioned you had action station duties as well. What were they?
Well, I was... for service action, I was in a magazine. But for aircraft, I was... a few setter on one of the guns, which was rather difficult if you got the two buzzers going together for the aircraft and the service section.
What were you supposed to do then if the two buzzers did go together?
Aircraft.
So you had a priority for aircraft. Did you do a lot of drills to practice this?
Oh yes, we was practically every day when you was at sea, and during your working up trials you were doing this.
What did you actually have to do as a fuse setter? What did the job entail?
You had a pair of earphones and you were sitting on a little stool just inside the gun turret. And as you had a dial there, and as the dial told you the figures, you had to, with your hand, set the fuse that was on top of the shell. Like, you know, it was movable.
Was it on top of the shell?
And you had a special key that fitted over the whole nose, and you turned it to coincide with the dial.
And when it
reached the distance that they required, when it was ready, they just used to say fire, and of course you lifted up, and the chappy next to you used to pick the shell off of your stall and put it in. Mind you, it was antiquated, really, because Tom, they got it up there, and the aircraft was... Because I know allowances were made for it, but it wasn't very successful, not in my opinion.
So you were sitting next to the loader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many shells a minute do you think you could get through the gun if you were firing as fast as you could?
10, 12, I suppose. Not very quick, not really.
And this was the 4.7.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the job you did for Surface Action? You said you were in a Surface magazine.
Oh, that was a magazine, yeah. That was sending the ammunition up to the guns, that's all. Keep supplying them.
How did you do that? Did you actually hand them?
Well, there was about four of you in the magazine altogether, and it was like a chain. And there was one at the hoist. And Chappie at the hoist just used to put them in, and it was going round all the time.
Like
on a conveyor belt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was life like when you were afloat? What were the living conditions like?
Well, it depended on the sea, really. If it was calm, it wasn't too bad. But if it was rough, it was a bit naughty. Because she was on a destroyer. You was awash all the time, practically, if you was in rough weather. And very difficult to eat meals. You're sitting down there, you had to hold the plate in your hand, or hold it anyway. And you couldn't eat soup.
What was the food like when you were...
Well, on destroyers, you do your own preparing, and it's only cooked by the chefs. So every mess had their own... what they call cooks of the mess. Every rating was detailed off to do a certain number of duties in the mess.
These are like household duties.
That's right, yes.
What, I think you were cook of the mess, weren't you?
Oh, yes, yes. Everybody was, really, but I was lucky in that respect, I suppose, because I used to do a lot of cooking before I left home, before joining them. So I could actually...
What do you mean by preparation? I mean, what sort of thing would you have
you
to do?
You used to prepare the meals, whatever you were going to cook. If you were going to make a roast, you prepare the meat and potato and the vegetables, and you just take them up the galley and the cook would cook them.
Did you have to draw the food as well as
preparing it? Yes, because it's on a destroyer. It's what they call canteen messing. Every mess canteen... catered for their cell.
How many men were there living in your mess there?
was about 20. It was about 23, I think, in our.
So you were having to bash Spuds for 23?
23.
Were you ever able to actually rest and relax when you were at sea?
Oh, yeah. Well, as best you could. The watches were four on, four off. 4 hours on, 4 hours off. Because you had your normal mess duties and that to carry out during that time, but... The only time you was really allowed to actually rest is if you did a middle watch, what I call a middle watch, from 12 to 4 o'clock in the morning. And then in the afternoon, nobody used to interfere with you. You used to be able to get your head down if you wanted to.
Did you have to go short of sleep?
Quite often.
Did it take you a long time to adjust to that, to this business of being... on for 4 hours and off for 4 hours and having sleep disrupted and cut up?
To me, no. It didn't seem to make much difference to me. Because I was young. I mean, at this time, I wasn't 18 then. Oh, yes, I was just about 18. Mm-hmm. But, no, it didn't worry me. I don't think it worried the elderly blokes more than anything. They used to feel it a bit more, I think.
What was the rough balance of age then in your mess?
In the mess, average, I should say, about 24.
So it wasn't really a ship with old men in it, was it?
No, well, you called them old. If they had a couple of badges, you called them old-timers, or the bloke with three badges, well... Yeah, although, looking back now, I mean, because we was what they call sprogs, we didn't know. A bloke could have three badges and he'd only do 12 years in the Navy. So he could only have been over 30. Mind you, some of them were a bit older, but not many. No, the average age was about 24, I should say.
How was it then that you eventually went out to the Red Sea?
We were in we was with a fleet, the North Atlantic Fleet, and we got a recall to Plymouth. There was four of us, which was the Kingston, Kandahar, Khartoum and Kimberley, and we went down to Plymouth. This was in about March 1940. We had a 72-hour boiler clean, and every ship was given 72 hours leave. Every member of the crew, they had what they called a C&M party from Plymouth come aboard to look after the ship. And every man was sent home for 72 hours leave. They did a boiler clean and one or two other little jobs, I suppose, that wanted doing. We came back and we immediately left Plymouth for... a destination unknown, you might say.
So you didn't know where you were going?
We didn't know, no. You never knew where you were going during the war.
What did you do when you were sent home on your leave then? Did you just go back to Kent?
I came back to Erith, yeah, to my mother's parents' place. I didn't have long there, about 24 hours before I got back in. Still, it was nice. It made a break to see them.
What route did you take then, going out?
Going out, there was four J-boats joined us on the way out. And we went from Plymouth to Gibraltar, through to Malta, through to Alexandria. We just stopped long enough in those places to refuel. And we got to Alexandria and... We refuelled and we was pushed straight, the 4K boats was pushed straight down to the Suez, through the Suez, into the Red Sea.
Were you travelling as part of a convoy, as escort, for example, or was it just
no.
Purely naval movement?
Just 8 destroyers. We carried out different exercises on the way there with them, but they was all manoeuvrable exercises, I think.
Did you manage to get ashore in any of the places where you stopped?
Only for a couple of hours. Gibraltar, Malta. Didn't have long.
What impression did you get of those places?
I don't think you really had time to form an impression, really. 2 hours. You just went for a drink. The time you had a drink, found a place to have a drink, he was back on board again.
Did you see anything of the enemy while you were transiting through to Alexandria?
No, because Italy wasn't in the war then. And we didn't see nothing of Germany, the U-boats or anything.
No aircraft or anything
no,
like that?
No, no.
What, did you see? Could you see much of Egypt from the canal when you were going through?
Oh yes, we the 4K boats got a rocket from somebody because they went through there at quite a high speed, really, going through the canal, and they washed quite a lot of the bank away. Oh yeah, because it's what is it, half a mile wide? Oh yeah, you can see all the way down till you get to the lakes, and then out in the Sed.
Did you go short on in Egypt?
Not then, no. No.
What was the climate like once you got into the Red Sea?
It was pretty warm. Because it was just approaching their summer, I think. The worst part was Port Sudan. The hottest part. It was about, must have been well in the 120s, I should have been, that degree.
Could you do anything to alleviate the effects of the heat?
They used to let you swim, providing you was off duty. Not, you know, you could go for a swim. They had lookouts for the sharks.
But did you see any sharks? Did they come round when you were swimming?
No, I can't ever remember any of them approaching. Not while we were out swimming, or anybody come to that out swimming.
Were you based on Port Sudan then when you got out there?
No, Aden.
What was Aden like as a place, as a base?
As a base, then, it was terrible, because there wasn't nothing there. Only a small building that they called a fleet canteen. Other than that, there was nothing.
What about the town? Did you get into the town at all?
Well, hardly any town there. A couple of shacks when we was out there. Not much there. Because it was high. I went ashore once. I didn't bother to go ashore again. Wasn't worth it. Well, nothing there.
So you just stayed on the ship then when you were off duty? Mm-hmm. What sort of things could you do to while away your leisure if you were actually on the ship?
I don't know what we used to really. You used to be writing letters, and I used to have Tom Bowler in the evening, because he was allowed to play that.